Escape from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out about Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
And I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
John, how you doing? We're talking through the laptops yet again.
We are. We are. Yes. I liked your intro there. You really put a little spice on the nerds. You were like, nerds!
Yeah, you like that? Put a little adobo on that dish.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. It was good. I liked it. Gave me a thrill.
Yeah, a little seasoning on that that fine platter. Boom! Bam.
Yeah. Yeah. Bam!
Yeah. Exactly.
You Emeril Lagasse'd that up.
People say I'm the Emeril Lagasse of podcasting, John. I don't know if you knew that.
No, I have said that for a long time. I'm the one who coined that.
Yes. Bam, pow, biff, oof.
Yeah. Well, now you're just doing Batman TV show sound effects.
I am, yes. There's a thin line between Emeril Lagasse and Batman.
Yeah, I've always found. I mean.
Zop, pow, oof, zowie, kablamo.
So, we survived another week.
We did.
Yay!
We're still here. We're still standing. We're still strong. Still breathing.
That's right. We're Denzel Washington in the hurricane. We're still here. We're still standing.
That's right. We're like that that Elton John song, I'm Still Standing.
Oh, God. I was just starting to think of that.
Woo-hoo! We are in sync, my friend.
Oh, God. Remembering an obscure Elton John song from, like, 1983.
Oh, yeah. Dude, that song rocks. That's my jam. I'm still standing. I don't know the words, but it's my jam.
Okay.
Oh, boy. Speaking of British singers, hey, there's your segue.
Yeah.
Today, we're here to talk about last night's episode of SNL with guest host Adele and musical guest Her.
Yes, this is season 46, episode 4 from October 24th, 2020.
Yes, the year of our Lord.
Yes.
And, this episode was, I don't know, should I spoil it, what I thought about it overall?
Go ahead, spill the tea.
Not crazy about it.
Yeah, I'm not nuts about it. Honestly, ever since during the broadcast, when they announced who was going to be the host and musical guest next week, I was like, can we just shit can discussion of the Adele episode and just talk about John Mulaney and the Strokes for next week?
All right, here, well, let's talk about it. Halloween episode. Yeah, because I'd rather talk about this than this episode we just watched, kind of.
But, same.
Yeah, I mean, Halloween episode, John Mulaney and the Strokes. Looking forward to this one. John Mulaney, fourth time hosting.
Yeah,
and as far as the Strokes go, I'm not a huge Strokes fan. I do like some of their stuff, but like I do know, like a bunch of my friends are like diehard Strokes fans. Like, I mean, when that first album hit New York, it was like,
yeah,
everybody was like, this band's amazing.
Yeah,
that last night song was everywhere. Like that whole, it kind of brought in that whole garage rock revival for like the early aughts.
Mm-hmm.
So they just came out with a new album this past April. So I'm looking forward to the Strokes.
Yeah, I love the Strokes. Really excited. They're not somebody I would have expected to come on SNL, but I am here for it. I am really looking forward to that. I mean, John Mulaney, he's hosted three times now, so we know kind of what we're getting. We're gonna get some great stand up at the beginning. We're gonna get another Diner Lobster-esque sketch, and we're going to get some unexpected surprises. I mean, he's one of those people, when they say he's hosting, I'm like, oh, well, that'll be a good show then.
Right, absolutely.
I have no worries.
Right. Oop. Absolutely. Yeah, he's a... because like he's a guy who just understands the inner workings of SNL. He wrote on SNL.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. And as far as the Strokes, funny enough, you say you can't picture them on SNL. This will be their fourth time on SNL. They've actually been on in 2001, 2006, and 2011.
Oh, I mean, it doesn't surprise me that they've been on the show in the past. It's just I wouldn't have thought they'd be a musical guest the show would book today. So I didn't think they were that big of a deal anymore. So So that was why I was surprised by it.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that makes sense. Because, I mean, I don't want to say they're, like, past their prime. I mean, they're still a great band. But, yeah, like, I mean, SNL kind of nowadays, when it comes to musical guests, they kind of mostly go for, like, you know, the younger, you know, it's mostly just pop music, hip-hop, mm-hmm. dance. And, like, once in a while they'll have on, like, a rock band, and once in a while they'll have on, like, country music. But, like, for the most part, it's mostly, like, you know, whoever the hot new SoundCloud rapper or TikTok singer is.
So yeah, yeah. I mean, and that's, you know, as it should be, because they need to appeal to what's hip and happening and current and, you know, play to the young people.
Yeah. What are the kids like? What are they on the YouTubes and the Twitter chats?
Yeah. I mean, I've kind of gotten used to me not having heard of the musical guests on SNL before, because that's just kind of where I'm at. Right. So I was like, when I saw those Strokes, I was like, oh, cool. I know them and I like them and I'm looking forward to them. So yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So, October 31st, John Mulaney, the Strokes, expectations high. So,
John Mulaney, he always kicks the writing up a few notches when he's there to host. So, I think it's going to be good.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of wish he was writing on this episode. We're going to talk about the kid then writing up a little bit, because we'll get there. But
well, I mean, you know, it's good. He's conserving his energy for next week. You know, and he's putting all the good stuff into his show for next week.
Yes. Save your strength, Mulaney.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because, like, well, this was episode 4 of the season. They're used to normally just doing 3 episodes in a row, so maybe they were a little burned out going into this show. I don't know.
Yeah, and now we got the news that they're going to come out with a 6th episode on November 7th. 6 right. episodes in a row. That's never been done in SNL history. And then, like, part of me is, like, a little excited because, like, oh, 6 new episodes, that's great. But then I remember seeing online people saying, well, that sounds great in theory, but, I mean, what will happen to the writers? Like, maybe won't they get burnt out by the 6th episode and the writing will, you know, suffer and lack for it? And I never considered that until this episode.
You did not like this episode, Dan.
We'll get into it, but I don't know. I just thought the writing on this episode was pretty weak.
Okay. Wow. I feel like you were a little more down on this episode than I was. I wasn't nuts about it, but I didn't.
I don't want to be a sour apple on this, but, like, this episode, I was like, oof. I don't know about this.
No, hey, you know, go with what you're feeling, man. So let's dive in. So cold open, as, you know, most anyone with a pulse would have guessed, it was the final presidential debate between President Trump and Joe Biden, and we got the Alec Baldwin, we got the Jim Carrey, we got the Maya Rudolph as the moderator this time. The what's her name from the Weekend Today Show?
Kristen Welker.
Thank you. Generally speaking, she's regarded to have done a good episode, and she kind of rode herd on him. Okay. So, yeah, what do we think of this?
I mean, usually I'll take notes about, like, funny, clever things I've heard in episodes and, you know, cold opens and whatnot. This one I didn't write down that much.
Nope, me neither.
It kind of started off with, you know, Trump confusing Kristen with other, you know, I guess ethnic women. He called her, like, Hoda, Padma, said, Mindy, thank you, Mindy, I love your project.
Yeah, yeah. That was cute.
Yeah, yeah. At one point, Trump, or, you know, Baldwin asked, hey, do you mind passing us the menus? And he says, oh, no, I'm not a waitress. And he said, oh, okay, we'll just have a round of waters then.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that worked okay, painting Trump as oblivious and stuff. I mean... With these debate sketches, I don't even know what they're going for with these things anymore. They always seem to determined to hit every single point of the debate. And, you know, you're covering an hour and a half's worth of material in about 10 to 12 minutes. And I don't know. They don't need to do all that. Like at the 10 p.m. rerun, they reran a show with Kate Hudson hosting from 2000, and they had a sketch with George W. Bush debating Al Gore, because this was a show from October of 2000. It was a 5-minute cold open, and it was great. It was fine, and it said what it needed to say, but it didn't belabor every single point the way the debate sketches do these days.
Yeah, I mean, I know we've said it, but you know, sometimes less is more. Like I know I said it in the last episode, where if you don't have the jokes to fill in 12 minutes, don't make it 12 minutes. I don't know why they're hell bent on making these cold opens that long.
Yeah.
I mean, at one point, Jim Carrey, who was doing the Biden, he just went into like a Clint Eastwood impression, just because you know Carrey does a really good Clint Eastwood impression. I mean, that was fine. Then of course they had Kate McKinnon come on as Rudy Giuliani, of course, playing off the Borat scandal that just came out this past week. And
yeah, that was a story that broke this week. Apparently, Rudy Giuliani was like lying on a bed and reaching down south to, he says, to tuck in his shirt. Other people say to do other things that you would do south of the border, down Mexico way.
Yeah, because when you tuck in your shirt, you lie down on a bed first.
I have never in my life tucked in my shirt by lying down on a bed.
No one does that. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you stand up. You stand up and you tuck it in your shirt, and it is like a 2-second operation.
I mean, maybe if you have a bad back, maybe. But no, you just, it's like you're tucking your shirt. It's not like a big deal. Just tuck it in and go about your day.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't fully judge that story because I haven't watched the full Borat 2 movie yet. Have you checked it out yet?
No. I mean, we have Amazon Prime. We've been meaning to check it out, but we haven't done it yet. But,
yeah, I'll probably watch it a little later today, and we'll see where it is.
Exactly. But so there's that, and Kate as Rudy, which is gets a few laughs. I don't know. It seemed like the audience wasn't too, into this cold open.
It didn't feel like they did as much with the Giuliani thing as they could have. It's always fun to see Kate's interpretation of Rudy Giuliani as this weird goblin man. Amusing. But right.
And I think the moderator asked Trump, played by Baldwin, saying, "Hey, what would you say to all the voters who didn't vote for you, the day after Election Day?" And then Baldwin said, "Well, if you didn't vote me, I would say hola," which got kind of groans from the audience. And I don't know. I just cold open just wasn't really working for me.
Yeah. I don't think the debate sketches have been very successful this season. So
yeah.
I mean, they're kind of a slog to get through at this point.
Yeah. I mean, I think you mentioned it too. Like, it seems like Carrie's still trying to figure out his Biden while he's on camera. Like, he's like,
yeah,
he's like a guitarist warming up his guitar while the show is during the show.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're at the point now that I think we can safely declare Jim Carrey playing Biden as a noble failure. That's the kindest way to put it, I think.
Yeah. It's hard. I don't want to admit that, but I mean, by the fourth time you should have a lock on how you're going to play this dude.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to imagine, this probably isn't fair, but I'm trying to imagine like what these sketches could have been if, like, say they'd just gotten Jason Sudeikis back to play Biden. And
yeah, exactly.
I think it would have been a lot better. Cause I think he had a more clearly defined persona. With Jim Carrey, they just seem to go off in these weird directions. And I don't know if that's Carrey's influence or what, but I don't know. Yeah. It's not working for me.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of looks the part. He looks more Biden-ish.
Yeah, well, and the makeup's good. The makeup people did a spectacular job making him look like Biden.
Yeah, but it's just like everything else. that's a bit of an issue.
Yeah, that's a bit of a problem. So anyway.
All right, so that's it.
So next we had Adele's monologue, and she comes out and she talks about how SNL was the show that broke my career in America 12 years ago, because apparently the first time she was a musical guest was when they had Tina Fey hosting, and she was playing, and Sarah Palin came on as a cameo, so they had a really huge audience for that. So Adele had a lot of eyeballs on her. So,
right. So she thanks Sarah Palin for that, kind of in a cheeky British way. I've never really heard Adele in interviews a lot. Like, I never heard her actual voice. I didn't realize her accent was like that thick. It's like British on top of, it's like British to the ninth power.
I think someone on our Twitter page said that Adele should be like talking with Cecily Strong's Gemma character, because her speaking voice is, it's kind of like that at Gemma.
Yeah. It's like super Cockney. It's like her voice needs like subtitles. It's like when I'm watching Sherlock, I'm like, oh, I can't, I don't understand half the things people are saying.
Why can't you talk normal?
Yeah, like, how's it going, Lofi?
You sound like you're from London.
Nice.
And Adele, like, she also addressed, because she's had like a substantial weight loss lately. She had a line. She said, "I had to travel light, and I only brought half of me." That was a pretty good line.
Yeah, that was fine.
Because she does look quite a bit different. She looks almost like a different person, I think.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have said she looks like Sarah Paulson, the actress. And
yeah, I can see that.
And she also mentioned how she curses a lot. She's a big old sailor mouth. And
yeah.
So they had a swear jar in the back for every time she curses. And they cut to backstage with Keenan, and the swear jar is as tall as Keenan, and it's like filled up already to the top.
Yeah. And they also had like a montage of her from another live TV event where she's just like dropping all these F-bombs left and right.
Kind
of a British thing. That was cute.
Yeah, it is weird because like she does sing like these beautiful, you know, flowing ballads, and like, you know, it's a very classy, classical voice. And then when she's done, she's like a English dock worker, just like cursing up a storm and like, hello. Like, you know, it talks like that chimney sweep in Mary Poppins. I'm like, Jesus.
All our British listeners, please write in. Let us know what you think of Darren's British accent. How actually is it?
It's a jolly holiday with Mary. Not bad, right?
It's perfect. It's dead on.
That's right.
Am I co-hosting this podcast with a British person all of a sudden?
Oh my God, is Ringo Starr on the line with us?
What is happening? But she seemed good natured and has a good sense of humor about herself. A decent monologue, I thought.
Yeah, decent enough.
So, next we had the first sketch, which was, what was this called? This was Madam the Velda.
Yeah, I almost said Madam Vuvuzela, but I was like, that's not right.
Yeah, Madam the Velda is what it's called on YouTube, which is a bunch of friends. They're seeing a psychic played by Kate McKinnon, and they're friends in 2019, so they're looking ahead into the new year of 2020. And so she keeps seeing these things that just sound utterly strange to them because they have no reference for what a hellscape 2020 is going to end up being.
Right, exactly. Like, she tells one of them that, like, I think Adele's character is like somebody who likes to go out to concerts and museums, and the Madame Vivelda says, yes, you'll spend all your days with adult coloring books, which is something a lot of people doing. And she talks to Heidi Gardner about how her boyfriend moves in and like how they're busy washing bags of potato chips because that's not how you get it.
Right. And she's yelling at him that he didn't use enough soap in washing off the chips. And she tells Bowen that all of his friends are going to cut him out of their lives for the crime of going to a restaurant. So,
yeah, and they're all like confused, like, why would that be a problem? And they never bring up COVID, but this.
Yeah, but they have no context for it. This was okay.
Yeah, I thought it was okay. I thought it was weird how Kate's accent kind of went in and out quite a bit, but you know, it's me being a stickler.
Yeah, I can't say that I noticed that, but I only watched this one once, so.
Right, and they also mentioned at the end, like towards the end, the madam says, oh, which one here is named, I think her name's like Heather Tubin.
Oh, yes.
So they threw in a Jeffrey Toobin joke towards the end.
And I guess that story, you know, that broke on Wednesday, I think it was. So I guess that was late enough in the week that they weren't still writing. So they just kind of tossed that in.
Right. And then the sketch ends with the psychic saying, hey, if you guys see J.K. Rowling, tell her to stick to the books.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. So. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's just... I'm sorry.
You went full Lumberg on that.
I didn't even mean to do that. If you could come in tomorrow... Yeah. I mean, this gets... I guess it's okay. But I don't know. I kind of like the premise, like how it takes place a year ago, and she's bringing up all these things that happened now, but didn't really kind of seem to go anywhere.
I feel like it was a strong premise. I liked it okay. But you seem down on it.
I liked it okay. I mean, I guess the thing that made it go is like Kate's performance, the way she was kind of going over the top, because you know, like a lot of times when like the material is whatever, it's dependent on the actors to really elevate it. So Kate did what she did. She was the one. She did a lot of heavy lifting. I'll give her that. But yeah, as far as the sketch goes, I thought it was like, okay, all right.
And speaking of okay, that leads us into our next sketch: Chad in a haunted mansion, which with no one's favorite SNL recurring character, Chad.
Yeah, can we just talk about this? Are there people out there who are like clamoring for Chad?
I don't see how. I said this the last time we had to watch a Chad sketch. I mean, the character's defining trait is he's relatively indifferent to everything. So how is that especially entertaining after the second or third time?
Like I don't know. Like, this is, I think, the seventh time he's done it. And, like, even when the sketch began and the reveal was that it's Chad,
yeah.
Like, the audience, I didn't hear any applause.
Right.
Like, the audience was like Chad, where they were like, oh, okay. Like, when you.
Yeah, I mean, I was at home, was more like, oh, God damn it.
I mean,
is there any more comedic ground to be mined with Chad? I'm saying no.
No, there is. Like, when you see a recurring character, the audience should be like, oh, right, yeah. Like, people were psyched to see Wayne's World. People were like,
right, that when you got that public access television logo at the beginning of Wayne's World sketch, people were clapping in anticipation because they were like, yes, this is awesome, this is great, when Stefan comes on Weekend Update, people were like, yes, oh, amazing. And you know, Chad comes on and people were like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know why they keep bringing this character back. But guys, call in and tweet at us. If you understand the appeal of Chad, just please let us know. Like, because the only people I can see who really like Chad are people who are like diehard Pete Davidson fans, and they like anything he does, no matter what.
I guess, yeah. And Pete Davidson's fine. He's certainly made me laugh. Not with this character, or at least not recently with this character.
There's not
much to it, you know? Well, I mean, they tried to have a new twist with it, with Adele as a ghost. She's murdered by her husband. She's like, oh, you have to get this evidence that I was murdered by my husband. I wasn't a suicide, like everyone says. But then the twist at the end is Chad is killed by a suit of armor falling on him, and now Chad's a ghost.
Yeah, so like, part of me is wondering, oh, is this them telling us that maybe Pete's done with this character? Because I do hope so. Because in the beginning,
I certainly hope so. I don't think it's any sort of like this is the finale of Chad. Because I mean, it's one of those characters. He has like kind of a negative continuity. He's just in whatever situation he's in every week, and it doesn't really carry over to the next sketch at all.
Yeah, I guess. Oh, so he could just pop up alive in the next. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
I guess so.
He became like, he was cross-dressing in the RuPaul episode. They did a Scream parody thing with him. I can't remember what else they've done with Chad, but
Too much.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm done with the Chad.
Yeah. Like in the beginning of the sketch, Chad, he stops at, like you said, a haunted mansion because the car runs out of gas. And in my mind, I was like, oh, that's not the only thing out of gas. Like,
Wing!
Pow! Bam! Boom! See, I am the Emerald Lagasse.
Body blow! Body blow!
Right. Take that, Chad.
You're showing Chad the what for.
Yeah. That's right. Taking Chad down a peg.
Yeah. That guy's had a free ride for too long.
Uh-huh, that's right. Oh, wow. All right. But yeah, so that's our take on Chad. It's
yeah. So next we had another SNL go-to, The Bachelor, a Bachelor parody. The twist this time is Adele is playing herself in the sketch, and she's a contestant on The Bachelor because she's somebody who's had a lot of heartbreak or tumultuous relationships in her life.
Yeah, and she's actually recently divorced in real life, so I thought it was an interesting premise. Like when the I think she got divorced. I think this year or later last year, but she's recently divorced. You know, hence the weight loss, but she got divorced and lost a lot of weight.
Okay, but, so the weight loss came after the divorce, I'm assuming.
I believe so. Yes.
Okay.
But I mean, as far as this sketch goes, it's one of those things where I thought it was going to be, because it's the Bachelor sketch, I thought they were going to do like the follow the same formula like the other Bachelor sketches they've done.
Yeah, the cycle of women coming through on the bench. Can I borrow them for just a sec? This is nice. And yeah, they're all outrageous characters. But no, they went a different way with it.
Yeah, and basically it's, like you said, Adele on this dating show, and then it goes off to the Bachelor saying, hey, I want to give a rose to, you know, Hannah C. and not Adele. Adele looks, you know, crestfallen, and then she begins singing one of her big hits. So,
yeah,
we get some Adele singing after all, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, the joke here was she just kept breaking into her songs at the drop of a hat for whatever situation arose. And this was okay. It was all right. I think I probably would have enjoyed it more if I was a bigger fan of The Bachelor or Adele, but I knew enough about both to get it.
Yeah, like, I mean, basically this sketch is pretty much just a vehicle to have Adele sing. Because I think a lot of people were like, oh, you're going to have Adele host the show, but she's not going to sing the show. We want to hear her sing because she really hasn't been in the spotlight in a while. And she hasn't, you know, really done any singing or anything in quite a bit. So people were really pumped to see her and hear her sing. So I think, when it was announced that the musical guest her was going to be the guest host, people were kind of bummed. So I guess this is a way to sort of appease all the Adele fans, Adelphonics, or whatever they call themselves. Adele heads.
Let's call them Adelphonics. I really like that nickname.
I just came up with it. Adele, if you want to use that for your fans, Adelphonics, you can have it.
Adelphonics. No, well, pay us a little royalty, you know?
You know what? I take that back. Yeah, pay us some money.
Yeah. TM and copyright, the SNL nerds, Adelphonics.
Yes. Reach us at Not Productive, please.
Yes. So this was all right. I kind of missed everybody else playing like an outrageous character in the Bachelor parody. They seemed a little more normal. And, you know, I miss Cecily Strong not being there. It seems wrong to do a Bachelor parody without her there in it.
I mean, Lauren Holt got a nice little laugh in when I think Adele was... I think she's asked Adele, oh, hey, can I steal him for a sec, which is a line that they usually do in the Bachelor sketches. And then, like, Adele kind of crushed a glass with her hand and went into Rolling in the Deep. And then, like, Lauren was like, hey, you know, I'm a big fan of yours, but I don't think I could be around you right now. You're scaring me. And it even ends with Adele singing one of her big hits and then, like, kind of walking off set into the audience. And, like, the audience is loving it. They're like, yeah. They're, like, they're really into it.
Well, I mean, I think the people at SNL, they're obviously Adele fans. I remember there was, a Thanksgiving sketch a couple years ago where everybody was arguing over the Thanksgiving dinner because it's, you know, such a politically volatile time. And everybody just kind of came together singing Adele songs.
Yes, that was during the Matthew McConaughey episode.
Okay. Yeah. So I think they're obviously sincere Adele fans at SNL. So I'm not surprised that they found an excuse for her to sing in the show. And I mean, it's kind of silly to have her there and not have her sing something.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. So I thought the sketch was okay. I think this is a sketch for Adele fans more than anything. Mm-hmm. Like if you're a huge fan of Adele, this is for you. But yeah, if you're not that big a fan, you'll think the sketch is like a so-so.
Like what? We did, apparently.
I hope I don't sound like a hater throughout all this.
No, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. I thought this was fine.
Okay, I'm trying to sound like reasonable. I'm trying to back up my statements with facts. I'm not trying to be like, okay, this sucks and everything sucks and you suck and I suck and suck.
Yeah. No, I think we're being fair. And I mean, no, I don't like it when like somebody likes everything, because then it doesn't really mean anything, you know?
Yeah. This is the best.
Yeah.
I don't
I don't care for that. I can't respect a critic who does that sort of thing.
I can't go for that. No can do.
Exactly. Daryl Hall and or John Oak.
Yeah.
All right, so next up. Yeah. Election ad. This was just a quick thing. Just people talking about, hey, if Donald Trump isn't president, what will we talk about?
Yeah, it's basically an election ad with a lot of cast members talking about how, you know, this is a weird sketch because it begins very anti-Trump, saying like, you know, can we risk another 4 more years of his lies and his insanity,
or should,
you know, somebody like Biden, who's like more reasonable and stable, we can't deal with another 4 years of Trump. And then they said, well, but then I thought, well, if we don't have Trump, what's the news going to even be about?
Like, right.
We're going to talk about. And then it walks a very kind of dangerous line, because it almost sounds like it's pro Trump, but it's not.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, at the end, the kicker is it's from the ad was sponsored by the Trump Addicts of America. So it's like people who like retweeting his stuff or texting their friends like, oh, listen to the crazy thing that, you know, he did, or like the stuff he says is legit funny. So, yeah.
I mean, like Melissa, actually, VLC-Noah was actually in this sketch. She actually had a good line that I like, saying like, my entire personality is hating Donald Trump. And if he's gone, what am I supposed to do? Like, focus on my kids again? No thanks. Yeah. I like that. That was a good one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Andrew Dismuke said, yeah, like, when Trump was here, I was arguing with my dad, like, every day. But before that, we hadn't talked in years.
Yeah. This was all right. I enjoyed this.
I thought this was good. This might be the sketch of the night for me. Because, like, it is an interesting take on, like, yeah, we all, I mean, not we all, but, you know, most of us aren't fans of Trump, but then at the same time, we can't deny that he is entertaining, you know, to a degree.
But, yeah, like, I mean, that's, I think, a large part of why he got so much airtime after he announced his candidacy, because he would just say outrageous stuff. And yeah, people would get to react to that and or be outraged about it or laugh it off or whatever. So I think you can't underestimate the goof factor in the Trump presidency. I mean, look at, you know, they had Alec Baldwin on the show as stunt casting for Trump when everybody assumed he would just crash and burn. So let's get as much fun out of this as we can while we can. And then in the weird Faustian bargain that Alec Baldwin made, he ends up playing Trump on the show for 4 years.
Oh dear. The joke's on us.
Yeah.
But then later in the sketch, they kind of go with this premise further, saying, well, if he does lose, if anything, he's going to even be more vocal and more angrier, because it's not like Twitter is going to take it. They're going to take away his account. So he'll still be on Twitter. News people will still put him on and talk about what he's doing. Like, he has all that legal crime shit,
but
he's been doing. So there'll be, like, you know, court appearances, and that'll be televised.
Right, right. I mean, here's where I feel like the sketch missed the boat a little bit. It's like, well, after he's not in office, we are under no obligation to listen to him anymore. Like, I mean, assuming the election goes Biden's way on November 3rd, please. I am fucking blocking Trump on Twitter the next day because won't care about anything he has to say after that.
No, that makes sense. But like, I mean, I think this sketch kind of hits on something else where there are a lot of people who, like you said, like are addicted to his insane ramblings. So like,
yeah.
I mean, like the news will still have him on because he brings in ratings. Like I can see, you know, CNN and MSNBC and Fox and OAN or whatever, like being like, can you believe he said this? Like even after, just because they know that we're addicted to watching his madness and that equals ratings. So
yeah, like, we need our little hit.
Yeah, exactly. And like, of course they said, well, he even might, maybe even Ivanka will run in 2024 or something. And like, it's a weird twist where they say like this, I mean, even if, you know, he loses this election, it just might be the start of another onslaught of Trump in another way. Like, you know, like people have been saying, maybe he'll buy OAN and he'll have his own network and just broadcast his, you know, insane thoughts through that.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, that's a big theory is that was what he wanted out of his candidacy to begin with was he just wanted to start his own Trump network, like as an alternative to Fox News, like even harder right, I guess, or something. And running for president would give him the cachet. And then he in like this weird producer scenario, he ends up winning and he has to actually assume the office. And it's just so absurd even saying it. So yeah, it doesn't surprise me that he might try to pivot back to that original plan after he gets out of office.
He might. So, I mean, I dug this sketch. I like the premise of it and, you know, the execution. So I think I'll say this is my sketch of the night. This won me over.
It's a candidate for me. I don't know for sure. I'll have to, you know, see what else. I feel like there was something else that was a contender for me, but.
Okay. All right. We'll get into it.
You know what? Actually, I'm looking over it again. Yeah, no, this is probably the sketch of the night.
Zing.
I didn't love it, but, you know, I don't think I love most anything in this episode, so.
Oh, I brought you over to the dark side.
You have.
Yeah. Embrace the hate, John. Embrace the hate.
So next we had our musical guest for the episode, her first number was called Damage.
Yes, and second number was called Hold On, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah.
I really dug her. She was good. This was my first exposure to her. Good stuff, man. Talented woman.
Yeah. A lot of people. She kind of sings like a. I mean, her singing style reminds me of Alicia Keys a little bit. She definitely kind of croons in that sort of '90s R&B. Vibe type of thing. Mm-hmm. She also plays some, you know, pretty really good guitar. I saw some other stuff by her, and I think she kind of taps into like a Tracy Chapman type of vibe if you look into her older, more acoustic guitar stuff. But then it seemed like here she was kind of going more for maybe like a Prince D'Angelo, if I was to, you know, qualify it a little bit. But yeah, I dug it. And the acronym HER stands for Having Everything Revealed.
Ooh, interesting. I did not know that. Okay.
Right. But yeah, like I had heard of her before this performance, and I saw like her stuff. I was like, oh yeah, she's good, and this just kind of solidified it even more for me. I dig her groovy tunes, man.
I was just half expecting Mae Whitman's character from Arrested Development.
Her.
Her.
Oh.
You know.
Yeah. No shot. No chance.
Yeah. No. I would have liked to see Egg.
missed opportunity.
Yeah. They could have done something with that.
They really could. You wanted Egg to come out with like a guitar or a kazoo or something and join her?
She would totally play the kazoo.
I could see that happening.
He would totally play the kazoo. And I bet Mae Whitman would be up for it, too. Yeah. She seems like a cool chick with a good sense of humor.
Lay down some funky kazoo.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, pencil that in for next time, SNL. Free idea.
That's right. You can have that. You can have the Adelphonics. You can have all that. All these. Well, no. Actually, no. The Adelphonics will cost you. The kazoo, funky kazoo, will throw in for free.
Well, yeah, yeah. First taste is free.
That's right. The next hit will cost you.
That's right. So next, weekend update with Colin Jost and Michael Che.
Yeah, I don't know. What are your thoughts? I thought this one, weekend update, was okay. It didn't hit as hard as the last two weekend updates.
Yeah, I mean, I realized this week that Colin Jost, he's like the mediocre feature that you sit through to get to the headliner you really like.
Damn.
Or, you know, when you go to a mic and you just don't like the host.
Are you ready for your headliner?
Yes, please. Anyone but you.
Oh, man. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, he's just there. He's there in his little Bob's Big Boy haircut. And
Jesus Christ.
What? I've said that before.
You have. It's still.
I know I've criticized Joe's hair before.
You have. It still knocks me over.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I mean, basically Joe's had some jokes about, you know, kind of criticizing Biden about during the debate about like how he didn't kind of go hard in the paint, as it were. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, they were okay. Like, I didn't really write down any of them because they really weren't that memorable.
I don't feel like those jokes deserve that much attention.
Right.
I have a joke. Like, he was talking about the last debate. He said, you know, Trump behaved more like a regular person. I think that was a headline they were quoting.
Right.
Which, just kind of remarking on how concerned that was, how insane that is.
Yeah.
The first thing I really wrote down was at one point Michael Che just breaks down and he says, like, I'm sorry, I don't know where this is going. It's been a really weird week, and I really, really thought the president was going to die. Which, wow!
We all did, though.
I mean, Che just straight up doesn't give a F anymore. He is just putting it all out there, and I'm kind of loving it.
Yeah, he had that great joke, the Jeffrey Toobin joke.
Uh-huh. Oh, yes, yeah.
Because he's talking about how Jeffrey Toobin was caught, enjoying himself. Mm-hmm. On a Zoom call, and, you know,
right.
Since he writes for the New Yorker, you know that jerk off was dry as hell.
that was a great line.
It was a good one. And he had that other line about like Phil Collins and his wife, how they're like separated, and now, you know, I think his wife has kicked him out of his own house, and now he's staying.
Yeah, she's staying in the mansion, and Phil is staying in a studio apartment.
Even after that line, Che was like, woof.
Yeah. I felt like that died a little bit because he stumbled slightly over the line. But,
yeah.
You know, it was a decent enough line.
Yeah. But I like how he acknowledged even that line was like, woof.
Yeah. I mean, that's another thing I like about Che is he is totally honest about what he thinks of the material he's delivering. You know, if a joke doesn't go over well, but he believes in it, he's like, hey, I still like that.
I respect that.
Yeah, exactly. I totally respect that. I think that's great. I mean, yeah, I'd love to see Che perform stand-up in person sometime.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he's definitely done it. I just haven't gone to see him. Like, he was,
yeah,
he was at the Stress Factory a while back, and, he performed in New York for here and there, so we'll, you know, who knows? If we ever get back to some type of normal, maybe we'll go check him out.
Yep, that'd be nice. Next, we had one of your favorites, Melissa Villaseñor, doing a segment on quarantining alone, as she had to do.
Yeah, I thought this one was cute enough. You know, it was basically what you call it, like a showcase for Melissa's impressions.
Mm-hmm.
she started off with a Little Rascals impression.
Which
I thought, wow, that's in 2020, Little Rascals. Okay, all right.
That's a choice.
Yeah, part of me was like, do kids today know who the Little Rascals are?
Yeah, I don't know if they have the same cultural cachet they used to, because like when we were kids, they would still rerun the Little Rascals on TV. Yeah. And yeah, now not so much.
Yeah, so she does like a Little Rascals impression. And I was like, yeah, I guess that sounds about right. Then she goes into impression of Link from Zelda, which I guess if you're a gamer, you get that.
That was kind of over my head. She also imitated the Fleetwood Mac TikTok video, the guy who was like skateboarding while drinking cranberry juice, and apparently like rumors the album that song's from that went up in the charts again because of that TikTok video.
I really can't believe that went like crazy viral, because I saw it. It's literally just a dude drinking cranberry juice on a skateboard while Fleetwood Mac plays in the background, and like people like. Can't get enough of it. I'm like, that's wowing you to the heights that you need to share this?
Yeah. I mean, even Mick Fleetwood did like a tribute thing to that. Yeah, I don't pretend to get every single thing that goes viral, and you know, that seemed harmless enough.
Yeah, these kids these days, I don't know what they like with the TikToks and the YouTubers and the hoo-has.
Their slang and their crazy dances. I like them.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah, keep going, kids. You are the future.
And then she also does a Sia impression, too, towards the end.
Yeah, it was a good Sia impression. I know Sia a little bit. Like, back when a number of years ago when I worked at Barnes & Noble, that's when, like, Sia kind of hit big. And she was one of the people we played a lot in the music DVD department. And I heard Sia a lot, and I was like, "Yeah, that's a good impression." A Sia impression.
Oh, nice. Where in which Barnes & Noble were you working at?
I worked at the Morris Plains Barnes & Noble, right where 10 meets. I'm forgetting the other street. I'm forgetting the cross street.
All right, but all right, that's cool. I think anybody that works in retail has that one song that they've heard over and over again to the point that they're sick of it, just because, like, the
story. Yeah, I mean, like in Adventureland, when they're like, okay, I don't need to hear Rock Me Amadeus again.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I still remember, like, I used to work at the Virgin Megastore back when you go into a store to buy music.
Yeah.
There used to be one in Union Square in the city, and, like, I remember, like, Santana Smooth getting a lot of play because I was in.
And that song was so overplayed. I mean, it's a good song, but I am still sick of that song.
Yeah, like I was there like 98, 99, and like Smooth was like everybody was all about Smooth.
It got to the point where I heard that opening riff, I would change the radio station.
Well, it's a hard one. It's like,
yeah,
no, thank you.
Yeah, it just got grating after a while.
Yeah, once I heard that song play, I'd be like, I'm gonna take my break.
Yeah. And lastly, we had the Village People responding to Donald Trump using their song YMCA at rallies, which, I mean, right there, reality is bizarre enough.
Yeah, I didn't even realize, like, Trump was doing that. He was, like, using the YMCA Village People song for MAGA, and I'm like, do you guys know, like, the Village People aren't about you and your life, right? Like,
and it's like, you know what that song is about, right? How does anybody not know what the song YMCA is about?
Yeah, it's like when the Republicans play Born in the USA all over again. It's like, no one listen to the lyrics.
Well, I mean, everyone seems to misunderstand Born in the USA, but I thought at this point in 2020, everybody knew what the Village People were about.
Yeah. So this one, they had Keenan come in as a cop, where Beck was the construction worker, Mikey was the cowboy, Bowen was the leather dude, biker, and they had, I think Chris was like the military man.
Yes, exactly.
No one was dressed as a Native American, you know.
Yeah, good call. Good call.
Good call. Good call. I mean, in the song they mentioned that, you know, it's because he wasn't there because he had COVID. But
yeah, yeah. So they addressed it.
They addressed it.
I mean, are there normally like five guys in the Village People, or is it like six guys? Because I feel like they got rid of one of the guys and they brought another guy in.
Interesting question.
All right, I'm going to Wikipedia. God damn it.
All right, here we go. I think because they mentioned that there was a sailor in the group, yeah, that he wasn't there for some reason, and I think that's it. I think that's about it. But yeah, so it's basically them singing YMCA, but singing about how they're going to give Trump a cease and desist from playing their songs.
Yeah. Cease and desist.
Yeah. And then they say they have a lawyer, Alan Dershowitz, on their side. Then, of course, that's when Moffat comes out dressed as Alan Dershowitz really quickly and be like, hello.
Yeah.
And he just walks off.
Yeah. Yeah. And at one point they talk about like things you did on that island with Epstein. And then Colin Jost like stopping him, and they're like, no, hey, we're just singing.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, it's fine if you sing it.
And
then, of course, they go into how they're going to shave Ivanka's head.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's a goofy, silly thing to put towards the end. I thought it was all right. It's enjoyable.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. It was funny to see how hard everybody was throwing themselves into it. Honestly, I wouldn't mind seeing them come back as the Village People again. I'd like to see them find some excuse to come back as the Village People. It's just one of those things that's so off the wall. It's fun for me.
Yeah, it's one of those things that this is so silly and so over the top. I like it.
Yeah, yeah. So I wouldn't mind seeing them come back. By the way, the Village People, it seems like they have six members or six characters. The picture on their Wikipedia page, it's got the cowboy, the leatherman, the Native American, the cop, the construction worker, and the general, I guess, or the military guy, because they were all supposed to, like, you know, be kind of appropriating macho stereotypes. And the current members are five, though, so I guess they got rid of the Native American.
Cultural sensitivity.
I guess I'm just assuming, and they have a long Wikipedia page, so.
Of course. Let
me. History. They've had like, it looks like about two dozen members over the years, though.
Oh man.
It is under past members. We've got about 18 names here.
Yeah, they're kind of one of those groups where, like, you don't know each person individually; you just know them by their costume. So that kind of gives you freedom to, like, swap out people whenever you need to.
Yeah. I'm sure it's very easy for them to rotate people in and out. So they had an original seven members. There was the cop, admiral, athlete, gigolo, nondescript. That's one guy.
And the Indian.
Gigolo. That is one of his characters.
I don't remember.
GI/nondescript. There was a biker, the construction worker, the cowboy, and then another one that just says nondescript. So this has the breakdown through the years. Let me see when they got rid of the Indian.
I don't remember the gigolo. How would you even dress up as that? Just like a Leisure Suit Larry type of ensemble?
Okay, I'm just going to take a shot in the dark here. I'm going to say tight leather pants, a hot pink shirt unbuttoned to the belly button. And maybe a neckerchief.
That's very specific, but I like it.
That or he's just dressed totally like Fred Garvin, male prostitute.
Nice, there it is. I think you're gonna say something like Mr. Furley, but like I like your Fred Garvin.
Okay, it looks like they got rid of the Indian in 2017, which seems like later than it should have been.
Yeah, like, I mean, it makes sense. Like, we just got rid of the name of the Redskins, like, a month ago, so it's...
Yeah, yeah, true. Yeah, they were hanging on by the fingernails there. But it's like, really? That didn't happen 15 years sooner?
They were like, but I really like this headset. I really like this headdress, though.
It really brings out my eyes.
I mean, where else am I going to wear this?
Yeah, the current lineup is cop slash admiral, GI, leatherman, construction worker, cowboy. So they were accurate in their depiction of the village people. So
wow, if SNL is about anything, it's accuracy.
Well, you know what? I bet the SNL writers went on this very Wikipedia page earlier in the week just to confirm who exactly is in the village people right now. Yeah.
They're probably like, oh, please, God, don't make us have to put in a Native American man in the sketch.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they saw that. They're like, whoo, all right.
Bullet dodged.
Oh, wow. And that's our Village People podcast, guys. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, that's this week's Village People update. So hope you enjoyed.
Next week, we take on Macho Man.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, boy. Yeah, next sketch. Next sketch.
Next sketch, it's a visiting grandma, where some relatives, they're visiting their grandmother in a nursing home, but because of COVID concerns, they have to stand in the courtyard and yell up to her at the balcony.
Yeah, so it's basically Pete, Adele, who else is it? Ego, and Chris. And
yeah,
like you said, they're all yelling at their grandmother, played by Maya Rudolph again.
Maya Rudolph, yeah, because, you know, she's there, she's in the building. Why not give her some more parts?
What the hey? Where's she going to go?
I actually tweeted out during the show, Maya Rudolph is on the show now more than when she was on the show.
Where's the lie?
No, I mean, it's because, you know, now she's the beloved former cast member, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Put her in stuff.
Yeah, so, I mean, this sketch kind of goes in the direction you imagine it, like the kids screaming at their grandmother, hey, how you doing? Grandmother can't hear because she's older, saying what, mm-hmm. what? And, you know, it's, I don't know. This sketch.
Well, also, it wasn't just like she couldn't hear. It was also like she couldn't really understand the idioms that the people were using. Like Pete's character was talking about how he's like involved with a startup, but he's doing all this. And she's like, what? I don't understand. And finally he just has to be like, I don't have a job. I'm unemployed.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
And like Ego, she talks about how her relationship with her husband kind of went south. And then finally she just simplifies it to, he dumped my ass, grandma.
Yeah. Yes. We had a threesome and he went with the other woman and now they're living together in my house.
Right, right. I did like when Pete he just talked about Adele said, like, you know, when I get up in the morning, I go off to work and he stays in bed and keeps sleeping in. And Pete just goes, yeah, I'm like a pet. I don't have money.
That's a good line. Yeah. All right, you know, maybe this is a little bit better than I thought.
It was all right. I thought it was just kind of odd in that it didn't really have an ending. It just at the end Maya's character just says, like, hey, I don't have an inheritance, so none of you are getting anything when I go. I thought that was odd.
Yeah, I guess they really just didn't have an ending for it, so they just, like,
yeah,
threw that in, and it was kind of... you could tell it was just tacked on.
Yeah, it just really felt like, okay, we don't really have a strong way to end this sketch, so we're going to bring something in out of nowhere and just bring it to a close.
Yeah. Although, I mean, there is something I have noticed throughout the last episodes is they're putting more like slice of life sketches in these episodes, which I mean, I'm all for. I dig that. But I just kind of wish a lot of these had stronger endings.
So. Yeah. I mean, you always want a comedy sketch to come to a big finish. And it's really amazing how many SNL sketches can just peter out, you know?
Yeah. It's like they have an interesting premise, but like as it goes on, it kind of meanders a bit, and then it's just like, all right, it's been 4 minutes, let's go.
yeah, exactly.
Next up, African tourism.
Oof. Yeah. Oh, this got a woof right away.
Well, no, I shouldn't say that, but like this is a spicy one.
This was Kate McKinnon teaming up with Adele because A.D. Bryant wasn't there this week. So, yeah, just talking about Africa. And this sketch is mainly notable if I want to say that word correctly. It's mainly notable because Adele kept breaking throughout it.
Right. I mean, the basic premise is, like, you know, it's two women saying how beautiful Africa is, like, you know, the beautiful bamboo and the lush scenery and the tribesmen. And as it goes on, they talk about how, you know, and they had another thing they did where they had, like, shirtless, you know, black guys, like, in the background walking with, you know, older white women. And, like, as the sketch goes on, you see, oh, they're just talking about how awesome it is. Like, after you're divorced, you go to Africa, you know, go there and hook up with one of the, you know, the black dudes and get your back blown out.
How Stella got her groove back.
Very much so, yeah. You know, go to Africa and get the pipe.
Yes. Get the pipe.
Yeah, you know, get the pipe. You know, and of course, they talk about how the coconut water is delicious. You're going to really need that coconut water. And it's just, you know, just them talking about how, you know, getting laid in Africa is dope. And and throughout it, like, Adele is breaking quite a bit.
Frank, if you're still listening at this point in the podcast, I want a sound clip of just Darren saying getting laid in Africa is dope. I want to make that my ringtone.
isn't that the official, like, logo or slogan for the tourism board?
Yes, I think it is. It will be now. I mean,
and getting laid in Africa is dope. And then, of course, Heidi comes in and they talk about, you know, the pulsing bamboo of Africa. And of course, you know, Adele is, like, straight losing it. And I think at one point, like, Heidi says something like, yeah, the African rhythms will, you know, fill you up. You can feel it in your stomach. And that's when, like, Adele, like, totally breaks with that one.
I'm going to have to watch this one again. You picked up on a lot more of it than I did. I was really just watching to see Adele break. But
yeah, I mean, it was kind of hard to hear them at some points because they were, like, saying it. They were talking, like, a very low type of voice. Like, even at one point, I mean, it's definitely harder for Adele because she's talking in a low voice and she has that accent. So it's just like,
yeah,
a little, but like once you hear it,
okay. Get it. You don't like understanding foreigners.
Why can't they talk American like regular people?
Okay, Shane. All right.
Wow. Oh boy. Shout out to Shane.
My co-host is going to get canceled.
That's fine. but yeah, I mean, that's the basic of this sketch. You know, get piped down by some...
piped down! What? Can we just spend the next 20 minutes of just you coming up with euphemisms for having sex in Africa?
Oh, I'd enjoy that quite a bit.
Getting piped down.
Yeah. Yeah, Africa. You know, number one destination for divorcees of a certain age. And that's the basis of the sketch.
Okay.
I gotcha.
You broke me.
Oh, I'm happy. I'm happy.
Anything else to say about this one?
No, not really. Okay. Next sketch?
Next sketch, Ass Angel Jeans. This was Adele and Maya, and they're all in their sort of 80s teased hair and their acid-washed denim. And I don't even know where you get acid wash denim in 2020.
You got to make some calls for that. I don't even
know. I'm just impressed as hell with the SNL costume department that they found costumes for this.
I mean, maybe they actually made it. Maybe they got some jeans and actually washed them in acid, or I don't know.
I don't know how easy that is to do. I'm just fascinated. I would like to see a little mini documentary about how they track that down or made those, or I just want to know how this happened.
So I mean, this is a pre-tape and it's basically takes place at a bar. We have Maya Rudolph decked out in like a full bedazzled jean suit.
And so much bedazzling, you guys.
Oh, so much
bedazzling.
just big 80s, just big 80s, you know, like heart in the 80s hair. And then
big 80s energy in this sketch.
It's very, very strange things. And then, of course, then Adele comes in talking about her new jeans, which are ass angel jeans, which are jeans that let loose a perfume scent.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Beck, who just sings this like theme song. You know, she has an ass of an angel. And
now it smells like an angel too.
Yeah.
Because like when they're presumably farting, we get like little pink animation wafting up, and it's a very sweet smell. It gives them a nice cinnamon aroma.
Yeah. This was a weird one. Like,
yeah. And then eventually it comes out that the chemicals that they're using for this are damaging, and that when they sit on a bar stool, their butt bleaches the seat and there's a burning sensation. And yeah, so there are problems. There's still a few kinks in the system.
Yeah. I went to the bathroom and it stung when I tinkled. Is that normal?
Yeah. This was so bizarre. I kind of liked it.
I mean, it's a 10-1, so it's, you know, by proxy, it's going to be bizarre.
Yeah, this is where you want the weird stuff.
Yeah, I mean, if this has the stench of Kyle and Beck all over it. If I had to guess who wrote it, I kind of like the part where they talk about how the jeans, you know, they smell like lavender and rose and industrial chemicals. So
I
enjoyed how they talked about, you know, how you shouldn't wear the jeans if you have kidney or liver problems. And then they had that weird theme song. You know, she had the ass of an angel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I like it when they come up with a bizarre product and then they follow through and they examine the bizarre ramifications of that product. I mean, for me, the quintessential Kyle and Beck sketch was where they had the planter in your office that would allow you to, like, crap in your office. And then they just explained how then you have all these planters in your office and it smells really weird because it's old crap heated by the light bulb. I mean, I just like them following it through to the illogical extreme.
I
think of when they're at their best. So I think this is an example of them at their best.
Yeah, I remember that sketch, and like people would walk in and be like, "What's that smell?" And the guy, "I don't know what you're talking about."
Oh my god, what are you doing? Oh my god.
And the office is filled with like 30 plants.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
This sketch was, it was like when I first saw it, I was like, "What?" But I think upon rewatch, it's starting to warm up to me a little bit, just because it was so bizarre the first time. But
yeah,
I'm like kind of find I'm finding the bizarreness a little bit more endearing.
Yeah, it was so nutty. I kind of liked it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the episode, guys.
The episode. What do we think of Adele as a host?
I think she's all right. I think she's, she seems game for anything. She stumbled a little bit here and there. And, of course, the African tourism thing, she totally broke. But, you know, I think, you know, she has a good sense of humor. And she seemed okay. I think I still stand by my original stance about how the writing on this episode really wasn't the strongest.
Yeah, I would not disagree with that.
But a lot of the sketches kind of hinged on the, you know, this cast members kind of doing a lot of heavy lifting, like visiting grandma and everything else. So, like, while the writing wasn't there, I found it okay enough. But like, I mean, as far as the episode goes for this season, I didn't think it was the best. I was a little like,
not the strongest. Not the strongest.
But, you know, but I am hopeful for next week when we have John Mulaney and the Strokes, so I'm not writing off SNL just yet.
Yeah, yeah. That's fingers crossed. I mean, but I have confidence in John Mulaney.
That's right. I believe in John Mulaney. Just like
I believe in John Mulaney. Yes. I am sure that in a week's time there'll be at least one sketch that I absolutely loved. And I mean, if nothing else, we get to see John Mulaney perform stand up for 8 to 10 minutes. So that's pretty great.
I'm fine with that. I want to hear his new COVID bits.
I mean, and it's a Halloween show, and it's the last show before the election. I mean, yeah. there's a lot on this. So Lorne's bringing out the big guns, man.
Yeah. Hey, everybody, it's John Mulaney.
That's right.
COVID is crazy, right?
I mean, yeah, I mean, and John Mulaney, he's just got such a wonderful sense of the absurd. And so I'm sure we're just going to get some inspired goofiness. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm sure the Strokes are going to blow the roof off the joint. So
I've always said whenever they have like sort of a more seasoned musician as a musical host, it's usually a little bit better. And like, you know, mm-hmm. Strokes have been around for a minute. So, yeah, I expect them to deliver.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be fun. It's can't wait. Cannot wait.
Absolutely. And so checking the Twitter and see if we got any tweets about this. And yeah, we got some from our longtime fans, first-time mm-hmm. callers. Monette Marotti says, I love Maya. I understand her talent at sketch comedy now. But the minute they used her for the moderator, I was mentally checked out of the cold open, especially since she was in other sketches as well.
That was in all caps, I guess.
Yeah. That was all caps. I agree with that to some extent. Like, I mean, people love Maya, and I get it, but you know, she is like kind of, I don't want to say the old guard, but it mm-hmm. is a thing now where they are doing a lot of stunt casting where they bring all these fan favorites, but at the same time, they have a cast of 20 now, and you know, maybe give some of the newer cast members a little bit more spotlight. I mean, you hired them because you believe in their talents, so let them show off their talents.
That's crazy talk, Darren. Stunt casting all the way. Stunt casting 2020. Woo!
Bring back Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
Actually, no, don't. I apologize. I take that.
Yeah,
right.
No, that's okay. We're pretty much done with him.
Yeah. I don't want that.
Rob Phelps actually sent us a note. He has sent us a little private message. He says, hey guys, am I wrong for wondering if her was backstage thinking, what the hell, when Adele started singing Someone Like You? Also, hope Lorne didn't get mad when Adele kept breaking on the Africa sketch. It had me laughing out loud. For me, it was the best of the night, and I am so over Chad. Us too. Yeah, we are also over Chad. We will co-sign on that. We will subscribe to your newsletter.
Yeah, I think we're putting Chad in the same like category as the Californians at this point.
Yeah, I'm not as vehemently against Chad as I am the Californians, where I'm actively angry when it starts, but I'm just like, why?
Yeah.
So you know, Chad, I'm just like, okay, well, this is the thing I'll have to endure for the next 3 to 4 minutes.
So maybe you put Chad in the same category as like Gilly, like that vein.
Gilly, if I remember. Gilly got a little more irritating for me because it was a grating voice. Mm. I don't know. I'll do my full hate rank later if people want to see that.
Yeah. And guys, tweet us your hate ranks. Which cast, recurring cast characters do you cause your blood to boil?
Yeah. Actually, I've got a little something. I was talking with my old college roommate Scott, who's an avid listener of the show, he sent me this one in a chat on Words with Friends this week, and he told me, I'm finally watching last week's SNL after listening to your show this afternoon. I'm backwards this week, and I was really intrigued by this because I was just like, does the podcast make any sense when you haven't seen the show we're talking about?
I mean, I think we describe each sketch pretty well. So.
Yeah, he says, I saw through Weekend Update today, was just watching the last 30 to 40 minutes, most of which was forgettable anyway. And I couldn't disagree with him there. But he said something very nice. He said, you and Darren make it worth watching just so I can hear you two talk about it. So aww. Thank you, Scott. That's very sweet.
Thank you, Scott.
We're touched by that.
Yeah. I mean, as far as Rob's message goes, as he slid in our DMs. I can sort of see her being maybe a little irritated just because, you know, Adele just, I think we compared it earlier where we said like, it was like her was about to go on, but then like the headliner kind of came in and did like a quick set. It's like if you're a comedian, like if you're a comedian and you're waiting to go up and then like Chappelle or Rock comes in and just kind of cuts the line and, you know, does a set before you. Now you're like, oh, I got to follow that now.
Yeah. I can kind of see that. She was probably a good sport about it. I mean, you know, her has no shortage of musical talent herself. So I think it was fine.
Yeah, I think she did enough to differentiate herself from Adele. So, yeah, I think it was fine. Yeah. I think that that sketch in between the election vote pre-tape did enough to like sort of gave enough time, you know, to separate between Adele and her. So I think it was okay.
Yeah, and I personally kind of doubt that Lauren was mad at Adele for breaking during the Africa sketch, because I don't think he minds it too much if it's like someone sincerely breaking. If it's like someone just, I don't know, trying to goose up a weak sketch, I think he has a problem with it.
Yeah, like Fallon and Sands type of area?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, but yeah, I think if it's like a guest host, he's a little bit more...
Yeah, and it's not like she's an experienced actress, so I think it's a little more understandable there.
Yeah, I totally agree.
We actually got a comment from Nick Storr just a second ago.
What?
Yeah, just came in right now as we're recording. He says, didn't really get the Africa sketch, certainly didn't find it as funny as Adele, though it seemed like Kate was making it her sole purpose to make Adele break. Yeah, probably. I think if you see somebody start to go like that, yeah, it's natural to kind of want to goose them a bit. He says, generally liked the ep, certainly pre-weekend update, and then parentheses, post-cold open. Ooh, so he liked it for about 20 minutes or so.
Okay. All right.
Not as good as Bill Burr, but better than the other two. So, okay.
Yeah, as it stands right now, I think Bill Burr is my favorite episode. And maybe right behind, I would put Issa Rae. But it's an interesting thing. Thanks, Nick.
Yeah, thank you very much, Nick. And, you know, good timing, too.
Right. And Ruby the Rubes tweeted out saying, gonna need to put the mute button on that goddamn cold open. Ruby coming in hot.
Yeah.
You could literally play the Will Forte Spelling Bee and Water Bottle sketches back to back, where the entire joke is how long the sketch is. And it would still be shorter than that cold open.
Wow. Yeah, time kind of comes to a halt during those debate sketches now.
Yeah, it's like, it's actually, I'm going to say, like, it kind of felt shorter for some reason. And, like, for a minute, I was like, oh, they listened to our podcast and listened to what I said saying to make this thing shorter. We have the ear of SNL. And then I looked and it was like, oh, wait, no, it's like 11 minutes. How did it turn?
They shaved off a full minute.
You are heard, SNL nerds. You are heard.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So that's the episode, guys. As we said, John Mulaney, The Strokes, and a new episode on November 7th. So 6 episodes in a row. Woo!
Yeah.
Putting in overtime today.
Yeah. That's It's going to be interesting. They're gonna have a well deserved break after November 7th.
Yeah.
So
they're gonna just like wow, they're just gonna just collapse on their beds and just
collapse in a heap. I wonder how many weeks they're gonna take off after. I mean, they have to take at least 2 weeks off, I would think, right?
I think so, but then aren't they gonna have to do? Well, yeah, I guess, but then they. Yeah, I would say maybe 2 weeks, and then.
Yeah,
but then after 2 weeks it's like Thanksgiving, right? Then they gotta take that off.
Good point. Let's see. So the 7th. Okay.
I wouldn't surprise me if after the 7th they wouldn't come back till like December.
Yeah, maybe. You know, maybe they're playing it by ear. Maybe it just depends on how insane things are going to be post election. Because
yeah.
If it goes a certain way, maybe we'll have some semblance of stability. If it goes another way, maybe not.
Yeah, but John, so. I built my whole personality around hating Trump. If he loses, what am I going to do? What am I going to talk to my kids? No thanks.
No. No one wants that.
Lord, no. Yeah, and that's the episode, guys. Thanks again for listening. Thanks. Please, you know, rate, review, subscribe on Stitcher, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, or Apple Tunes, or whatever the hell they're calling it. Spotify, Google Play. Follow us on Twitter at SNL Nerds Show. If you want to follow me on Twitter and Instagram, I'm at Darren Credible. That's D-A-R-I-N Credible.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Trumbull Comic. That's T-R-U-M-B-U-L-L and the word comic.
Yes.
So that's it for us. We will just be spending the next week all a flutter, excited for John Mulaney and the Strokes. That's going to be a good one. I'm really looking forward to it.
Waiting with bated breath, as they say. Is there a dog over there? What was that?
That was me with bated breath.
Ah. Very good.
Yeah.
Got it. All right. I'm not sure what they did.
It's a thing that Jeffrey Toobin was doing.
Hey, and, now.
Possibly Rudy Giuliani as well.
Dry as hell.
All right. So that's it for us this week. So until next week, Nerds out.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.